There are 5 million of us every day going out there to sacrifice ourselves to try to make the world better. And I wonder, and why I do this every day is I wonder to myself, what would society be if we don't have nurses in it? And I constantly worry today that we're not going to have the next generation choose nursing because it is not a profession that has been historically valued.
Correct.
And what's happening is, who will we be if we don't have nurses in this society?
Welcome to Unlocking the AI Advantage podcast. We are here to fast track your success by leveraging the power of AI in business. Each episode brings you closer to the cutting edge of technology and entrepreneurship. Let's dive into the world of AI and make extraordinary strides in your journey. Are you ready? Let's go.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to one more episode of Unlocking the AI Advantage podcast. So I have a couple of exciting news to share with you. Before that, I'm your host, Ramesh Danta, with Unlocking the AI Advantage podcast. So what is this exciting news that I want to share with you? Number one, with your support, Unlocking the AI Advantage podcast is now rated in the top 50 podcasts in entrepreneurship in the USA. That is a big deal. Out of the 3 million plus podcasts out there, Unlocking the AI Advantage, with your support, has climbed up the ranks to be the top 50 in the entrepreneurship category in the US. So let me clarify those two things, right? It's not global, it's in the US, it's an entrepreneurship, but still, that's a really, really big deal. Thank you. So number two, at least for the next couple of episodes, I'll be focusing on healthcare. As you have noticed from our previous episodes, we have taken a broad swipe at AI in different sectors, but I think it serves well to go into some specific domains like healthcare, where AI is showing a lot of hope and promise. To go with that, I have been invited to actually start interviewing some of the entrepreneurs in a healthcare show for the very first time. And that healthcare show is called Vive, V-I-V-E 2024. And this Vive healthcare conference is hosted by two preeminent organizations. One is on HLTH. So they put together a large show, HLTH show in Las Vegas every year in October around that time frame. And another organization called Chime, C-H-I-M-E. Together, HLTH and Chime organize Vive healthcare conference. And this year it was held in Los Angeles during February 26, 27, 28. And I've been invited to be a podcast host at that conference and then meet with many entrepreneurs. And that was very, very exciting. So what you will hear today is actually an interview that I did at the Vive conference. Let me give a little bit of a context to some of the interviews I've done. So when I looked at the conference, few major themes came across. So the big ones that we always hear that AI is really revolutionizing few areas like a drug discovery, right? And those are the big items. And the second one is early discovery of diseases, right? So which is really helping a lot in the provider space and of course helping the patients as well. But what we also are noticing is that in the operation side, right? So where the non-clinical side also, AI is showing a lot of promise and progress. For example, we know the chatbots, right? So everybody has chatbots, not just in the healthcare space and the customer service, but that also can be used for what's called early triage, right? Before the patient goes to see a doctor, this intelligent chatbots can collect information from the patients. Right, so the chatbots are being put together in the healthcare industry in a very unique way to solve some problems. That's one. The second area is lots of areas like a revenue cycle management in the front end as well, how the clinics operate. AI is helping big time. The next couple of episodes, I'll be focusing about AI's, how it's unlocking the advantages for these healthcare professionals in the non-clinical space. Another thing I've noticed here at the conference is that lots of healthcare professionals are jumping into the startup space. And the healthcare professionals can fall into the clinical side, like the physicians and nurses, the actually who give the care. Or they could be a non-clinical folks, the administration side, who have deep knowledge in the healthcare space. So they're also jumping into this startup space. So one of the groups that I have noticed, I have observed at Vibe Conference, is a group led by Nurse Approved. Essentially, Nurse Approved is a group that is encouraging nurses and then the startups that are started by nurses and then giving them support through these kinds of conferences. So I had the good fortune of meeting Rebecca Love, who is the CEO and founder of Nurse Approved, and who herself is a nurse, practicing nurse. But she is very passionate about what she does, and she believes nurses are the ones that are closest to the healthcare delivery and to the patient, right? As a result, they have a lot of deep knowledge of what works, what does not work. And then the nurses who are interested in going into the entrepreneurial space, she's really encouraging them, supporting them. And for example, last year at Vibe Conference, there were not any startups led by nurses. Since then, Rebecca worked with the organizers to put together a pavilion just for the nurses and the startups that they have started under the nurse-approved pavilion. About 7 or so startups were there. So today, you're going to hear from Rebecca Love and my interview with Rebecca Love. So I hope you like it. And in the subsequent episodes, we will take you to the other areas of the conference where I've seen some lot of innovation that's happening. So with that, today's episode is about Rebecca Love, CEO and co-founder of Nurse Approved, who is coordinating startups started by nurses and then encouraging them, supporting them through various means. All right, so let's go and listen to Rebecca. Welcome to one more episode of the Unlocking the AI Advantage podcast. And this is your host, Ramesh Danta. Today, we are doing the recording from Vibe 2024 conference in Los Angeles. And I'm excited to talk to Rebecca Love, who's the CEO of Nurse Approved. Rebecca, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me, Ramesh.
All right. So, Rebecca, I just met you on the show floor, right, in the startup area where you had about, I believe, it's about 10 or so nurse-led startups. And then we talked literally for 5 minutes. And then I was very interested in what you're doing. So beyond that, I don't know anything. So let's go through your introductions.
Ramesh, thanks for having me. And I'm so glad we connected on the floor. You know, the truth is why we're here at Vibe, I am a nurse. And for 2 years ago, there was only 6 nurses at Vibe, and we wanted to change that. Everybody was talking about the issues with workforce, and what you had was everybody on the stages were non-nurses, and everybody in the audience were non-nurses. And many people for a long time have been trying to solve the nursing crisis, but they leave nurses out of that conversation.
I'm sorry, what is nursing crisis? So just people know.
The nursing crisis in the United States, not only in the United States, but globally, we're facing a nursing crisis in which we have a significant shortage of nurses willing to work in healthcare environments as they are today.
I see.
So we don't have a shortage. A lot of people say there's a nursing shortage. We actually have more nurses in the United States today than ever before. We have over 5 million nurses, not only making nursing the largest workforce in healthcare, but the largest workforce of any workforce in the United States.
There's, interesting.
Yeah, more nurses than police officers, teachers, anybody.
Wow.
So the crisis that we say right now is healthcare is an environment that is destroying the nursing workforce. The environment that has been built has not been built well for nurses. And the increased burdens is driving nurses out at the fastest rate of any profession in the United States. So 57% of all new nursing graduates leave the bedside within 2 years of practice. We graduate 185,000 nurses a year. And what is projected is we have nearly over 1 million nursing shortage at the bedside from nurses who will not practice in healthcare today because the environments are poorly designed, the workloads are too heavy, and the environment is burning out our nurses at rates far greater than we even see in our physician colleagues.
Got it. So we laid out the problem. So very good. So we're going to talk more about how you are with the Nurse Approved, you're solving the problem. So what is Nurse Approved?
Nurse Approved is a third-party platform that does third-party validation by nurses for nurse approval. Nurse Approved is the only certification mark issued by the United States Patent Office. It took us 4 years to allow for Nurse Approved, tested and trusted, to endorse products, processes, protocols, and policies that are endorsed by nurses to make sure that they are doing things that work well for nurses, deliver on the promises that they make, and deliver on the excellence of care and outcomes for patients. So Nurse Approved got involved with Vibe to bring the first nurse-founded companies to represent at Vibe to see what problems nurses are solving when you actually give nurses the chance to innovate.
Okay, so the Nurse Approved, when did it start?
2019.
Okay, is that, you started it?
I did.
So you funded it on your own, or is there venture funding for this?
There is no venture funding. We're all self-funded. Our biggest clients that started us were with J&J, Beth and Dickinson, organizations that wanted nurse innovation, but also wanted nurse insights and product development. That started the organization, and we've gone from there.
Okay, got it. So, and then you said, hey, there is a nursing crisis, as you mentioned, so we need to solve it. And then you worked with some companies like J&J and other companies to start Nurse Approved. So did they fund it? Or?
No, they were just clients of ours.
They're just clients, okay.
So a little bit that you don't know, Ramesh, background is that I started a company years ago. It was acquired. But during that process, I know that nurses had no access to funding, no access to insights. So we built and launched the first nurse innovation program in the country out of Northeastern, scaled that into a national, international nonprofit called SANCIEL, the Society of Nurse Scientists, Innovators, Entrepreneurs, and Leaders, in which we started to host hackathons for nurses around the world. They were supported by J&J and Microsoft because they thought to themselves, if nurses were brought into the places where they could innovate, they know where all the problems are, but nobody allows us to actually solve those problems. If you put them into a hackathon, could we change and solve the real problems that nurses are having on the front lines? And that's exactly what we found. During the midst of the pandemic, we started to host meetups with nurses heading into the pandemic. They were on their shifts, leaving their shifts. This was March 2020. Everybody else was out of the hospital system. There was nobody in hospitals besides nurses. They'll tell you there were doctors. They'll tell you there were administrators. They were behind glass doors or behind glass screens. The only people on the front lines, except for a handful of people, were nurses. And everything we knew was failing us. So what started to happen is nurses were innovating on the front lines of the pandemic. And we started hearing this of hundreds of nurses calling into this webinar that we were doing. And in April 2020, I called the chief nursing officer of Microsoft, Molly McCarthy, and I called the head of nursing at Johnson & Johnson. And I said, Linda, Molly, these nurses are innovating. Nobody is there. Everything we were taught is failing us. We need to do a hackathon. April 2020, we had that call. May 2020, Johnson & Johnson, Microsoft, and SANCIEL hosted our first of four global hackathons with nurses as they were innovating on the front lines of the pandemic. And what we found through that process is that nurses transform the delivery of healthcare.
Oh, that I think is known.
You
right?
think so? I'm so glad you think so, Ramesh.
No, but I think pretty much, right? So when our kid was born, I mean, the doctor would come once a day, maybe for 15 minutes or whatever. Most of the time, we were relying on the nurse, right? So are you saying that they don't get the recognition for the work they do, or is one of the things that you're trying to solve that problem as well?
That's exactly it, Ramesh. I think nurses are experts, but they are not invited to any of these roles. The decision makers are. If you actually look at these places where all the money is, all the investment is, all of the direction and conversations, they're not talking about nursing. They're not asking for it, but they're trying to solve these problems that if they actually talk to the expert, which is the nurse, and as you said, they spend the 23 hours and 45 minutes at the bedside that the physician is not there, they know what to solve. So it's one, recognizing nurses for the expertise that they have, and then valuing them and their opinions and giving them the same access and opportunities that all others in healthcare have, but historically nurses have been absent.
Got it. So, okay, so that's one side of the equation. But at the Vive, so you brought in some 10 or so companies that are started by nurse that is little different from what we just talked about, which is recognizing the value that for the care delivered by nurses. So how did this idea about bringing the companies that are started by nurses into the show floor, and by the way, so before I even go there, by encouraging the nurses to start the business, aren't you taking the nurses away from what they were doing, which is delivering the care?
It's a great question, Ramesh. And so actually, if you actually come and talk to most of the nurses that are here that have started businesses, most of them still are working at the bedside.
Okay.
Nurses always do more than one job. Also, too, they don't have access to funding, so they bootstrap everything because nobody gives them the opportunity to do those things. So these nurses that you actually meet here, most of them are such experts. One of our inventors, for example, Mick Hopkins, he has True Medical Concepts. For 10 years, he's been working as a bedside nurse, 25 patents under his name, with new blood collection devices, and he cannot get funding, right? But he is doing this through blood, sweat, and tears to make sure, because he knows that this product that he's invented does not cause sepsis and is 100% accurate.
Actually, I did see that company out there, the sepsis one. Yeah.
So the question that I have is, why did we bring nurse-founded businesses? Largely to your point, nurses were never thought to be innovators. Most people thought it was a fad. Nobody thought that nurses actually had the intelligence, the knowledge, the skill set to actually be business
owners. I don't know
about
the intelligence piece of it, so I would disagree with that one. But maybe the perception is what you're talking about.
That is exactly it. And the truth is, And also, nurses who start in businesses sometimes have been thought of as evil, right? Because you're supposed to be angelic. You're supposed to serve people, right? You're not supposed to make money.
Make money, yeah.
But you know what? What we've learned is if you don't make money, you can't drive influence. You don't have a business. So these nurses that are here, to me, they've leveraged their homes, their mortgages, their families, their relationships, their bank accounts. Because the product that they are producing is because they saw patients die because there wasn't a solution there. Or they saw that their friends and their families couldn't do their jobs because they didn't have it. I don't know if you know this, but on average, nurses do 36 workarounds per shift. They are in 156.
I'm sorry, what is a workaround?
And so a workaround is a device is designed, but it doesn't do what it does. So you make a shortcut to make it work better for you.
Okay.
Now, in places like Google or Amazon, right? Like a workaround that you solve, you're rewarded for. Nurses who do workarounds historically have been fired.
Interesting.
They don't see it as innovation. But now we're starting to say, oh my gosh, actually, this is innovation. So when you talk to nurses, they recognize where all the problems are in healthcare, where the care delivery systems are breaking down every single day that's causing patients their lives. And that's what they're innovating around is to save them. Nurses don't innovate to make money. They innovate to save lives.
So just let's talk a little bit about some of the companies that are there on the show floor today. So I spoke to this gentleman, I forget the name, but he's got this company that works with the nurses scheduling, right? I don't know if that is the right example, but you could pick one. But what he was telling me is that the intelligent scheduling of the nurses, it's not taking away from them, but I may not be saying it in the best way, but if you know about the company, why don't you talk about that are the other companies that you brought on the show floor.
Yeah, so Ramesh, Alex Whitefield, he invented a company called Breakalago. And what's happened is that nurses work historically 8 to 12 hour shifts, but they're not given any breaks. Now, this is actually a violation of Department of Labor laws in many states around these lines. But nurses, we joke, we don't have time to eat, we don't have time to go to the bathroom, because the level of acuity and the demands on our time like this. However, we know that it's led to a tremendous amount of burnout. If you're working full time 12 hour shifts and you're never sitting down time to break, what he started to do was he built a system using technology to ensure that nurses receive their breaks. One, to make sure that organizations remain compliant with Department of Labor laws. But two, to deal with the issue of burnout. And these nurses were working basically hours for free and being burned out, so they never ate, never in the bathrooms. And they found that when nurses take breaks, guess what? They're much better caregivers, much better providers. That's the example of one of the companies that at this
organization. Let me ask you another question on that one. So now Alex has started the company. And you are nurse approved, you encourage them and you brought them on the floor. How far do you go in encouraging that startup? Do you go get business for them or do you go get funding for them? What's your role, nurses approved role in startups?
So nurse approved, we test and validate the ideas through nurse approval. So they've earned that seal of approval to actually use the trust. Nurses are the most trusted profession. For the last 20 years, the Gallup poll has ranked nurses the most trusted profession. So they go through a screening process and evaluation called the Nurse Quality Index Score. They receive a mark over 90% by nurses of this panel's nurses. They earn the seal of approval. What this does is it helps them deliver trust of their product into a crowded marketplace and increases their opportunity to actually gain the consumer confidence. In addition, Nurse Approved is now bringing forward these Nurse Approved companies into environments such as Vive and Health to give them exposure in places that they otherwise never would have.
Do you act as an incubator, accelerator, and then do you take any stake in these companies?
We don't take any stake in the companies at this time. Actually, very interesting that you say that. Even leading up to Vive, what we did is we spent 8 weeks preparing them on their marketing strategy, their social strategy, teaching them the things on how to do a pitch deck. What does it even mean to be on a conference floor? Most of our nurses have never attended anything like this.
Yeah.
So I would say we don't have a formal structure right now along those processes. But I think that to your point, the request that we're getting in is that nurses want access to something to incubate them. Most incubators in the United States do not have cohorts of nurses. Now we're starting to see that change. Techstars, for example, starting to invite nurses. We just heard an announcement here yesterday that Chime and Scaled Health are going to launch an accelerator in money into nursing. The conversation is changing. But if I told you, Ramesh, 5 years ago, none of this existed. Nobody invested in nursing. So I think what the fight of my career has been trying to elevate and amplify the voice of nurses. And to me, when a conference like Vive and Health
recognizes and gives space, right? That's a validation.
It means we're doing something.
So Rebecca, so now let me talk about Rebecca Love. When you talk, there's so much passion that comes through. You've been a nurse. So if I just if you could talk about your journey, like did you get out of college? You went into nursing and then became a nurse. And then talk about what else were you doing in the side gigs to provide more value to the nursing profession.
Ravesha, nursing was a second career choice for me.
I
went to nursing school when I was supposed to go. I thought I was on my way to law school. My mother was a nurse. She sat me down. She said, "We're not sending you to law school.
We think you should
be a nurse." So this is what she said to me. She said, "Rebecca, there are plenty of strong lawyers in the world. There are not enough strong nurses." She had gone back to nursing school when I was a freshman in college and graduated and became an oncology nurse in her 50s. She went on.
Oh, is that right?
That's what she did. And so she went into the field as a nurse. And 4 years later, she sat me down when I thought I was going to grad school. And what she had witnessed to be being at the bedside was such a place of disempowerment as a nurse. She could never be heard. She could never be listened to. And then she sat me down and she said, "So I need you to go into this profession because we need strong nursing leaders to redefine the future." So I guess I sort of started to take that seriously. I was a community college professor in Boston. My nursing students couldn't find jobs in 2013. They would graduate and there were no jobs for associate degree nurses. And I was a hospice nurse practitioner and my patients wanted to die at home, but there was no caregivers to keep them at home. So they were being put in nursing homes. And I happened to get in one night to connect the two of them when my nursing students couldn't find jobs and a hospice patient of mine couldn't find care and was going to a nursing home. And I turned to the internet and there was no place for nurses to find jobs. So I launched my first company called HireNurses.com in 2013. My mother gave me her nursing retirement to start it. We bootstrapped. We never figured out how to make money. We had thousands of nurses.
You were still working as a nurse at the time?
We were working full-time as a nurse. I was a hospice nurse practitioner. I worked full-time as a faculty member at a community college called Bunker Hill Community in Boston. And then I had three small young children and did everything. As nurses, we always work more than one job. The money that we make as nurses is never something that is actually a livable wage. It's something we could have another conversation.
Are you kidding? So the general outside the thinking is that nurses get paid pretty well. So I could be totally wrong.
Well, you know what? It's very interesting. We can talk about the BLS data, which does seem to show that there's been increases in nursing salaries, but only if you're looking at actually increases of associated shift schedulings and increases with regards to overtime. But long story short, I was going to shut down my company. A friend of mine said, "Rebecca, you're on to something." And he said, "You need to go to a hackathon." He sent me to a hackathon where I was the only nurse in the room. And I thought I shouldn't be here.
Well, what was it doing, the hackathon? Because I know a hackathon of a coding hackathon and kind of thing. But what kind of hackathon is this one?
Yeah, so a hackathon was hosted by one of our hospital systems downtown Boston. When we showed up there, everyone was there. All the heads of departments, physicians, the CEO of the hospital, every single CEO of healthcare startups around Boston. And I realized I was the only nurse there. I joined this team and I had a physician and engineer, and in walks the CEO at a hackathon. He says, "What's the problem that you're solving?" And the physician speaks up and he says, "Well, the problem we're solving is this, and this is how we're going to fix it." And I'm squirming in my chair and I finally blurt out, "That's never going to work." And they said, "Why isn't it going to work, Rebecca?" And I said, "Well, you're just going to create more work for nurses if you're there." And so
There
was no voice for nurses. They were solving a problem that I was like, "This isn't the real problem." And the CEO said to me, he goes, "Well, how did I not know that?" And the physician said, "Well, how did I not know that?" And I said, "Well, did you ask the nurses?"
Nurses, yeah.
And they started laughing. So I started laughing, even though I didn't know what was funny. But then I realized what was funny to them was the idea that they should ask the nurses. I started to study the environment of healthcare hackathons after that event because I learned more about the business of healthcare in one weekend. And I called MIT Grand Hack and I said, "Do you have nurses who attend your hackathons?" And they're like, "Not really." And they go, "But you know, now that you mention it, in our healthcare division, almost every team who wins has nurses on it." And that's when I started to study. And what I said is, "Oh my God, if we had a hackathon for nurses, we would change the world." So I spent the next 6 months calling nursing schools around the country where I was hung up and said, "Nurses innovating? That's a fad. They're not hacked. They have to follow protocol and policy." Long story short, we connected with the dean of Northeastern. She said, "Next summer, Rebecca, I'm going to run a summit on innovation and entrepreneurship. Why don't you run a hackathon?" That was 2015. We built towards that event. In 2016, nobody talked about nurses as innovators. We had no idea if anybody was going to come. 2 weeks before the event was sold out. Every major hospital in Boston was sending teams of nurses. J&J, Deloitte, Microsoft were flying in to understand, what is this nurse innovation?
So Rebecca, looks like you are a kind of a person, whatever profession you would go into, you would, I don't want to use the word activist, that is, you used very loosely, so that's not the right word, but you're passionately advocating for that profession, right?
Yes.
So whether it's a legal, if you were a lawyer, then you would have done that. So in this, in the nursing industry, so you definitely are a pioneer in terms of what you're doing with the nurse approved and then what you did with the hiring nurses kind of thing.
So, I mean, where do you want to take the Nurse Approved? What's the logical progression of Nurse Approved for you?
So, Ramesh, what I'm hoping is that I know that nobody's going to value nursing voices unless we force the market to validate them. So I'm hoping Nurse Approved becomes the point of a spear that the best companies in the world are going to sit there, that make consumer products, that make products that work for nurses, are going to say, you know what? I want Nurse Approval. I want the voice of the nurse. Because I have to tell you, I have been so exhausted as a floor nurse to come in and every device never worked well for me.
But let me ask you this question. So because I'm still in my mind, is Nurse Approved the way to get nurses to start ventures and then you want to encourage entrepreneurship? Or is it more broader than that, is that you want to give voice to the nurses in the profession that they're doing? Because that's where I'm still confused.
So I think that's two sides of it. Nurse Approved has a whole cohort of nurse-founded companies to elevate them. But the process, the certification mark, the testing of products, this endorsement, the seal of approval, Nurse Approved, tested and trusted, I hope becomes the gold standard of companies who want to say that they get to go through this process, get nurse feedback, and if they achieve a 90% score above, they are going to be proud to earn the seal of approval, Nurse Approved, tested and trusted, and put it on their devices. And then when we show up at CVS and we're looking at a wall of thermometers, all the same price point, you see that seal, Nurse Approved, tested and trusted, and you as a consumer are going to buy that product because you value nurses as your organization. That is the idea. Change the market, bring more nurses in to make sure that their voices are heard in product development, and leverage the trust nurses have to drive better consumer products into the market.
So do you think that, you said 5 million nurses out there, and then there's only one Rebecca Love with a Nurse Approved, right? So are you getting enough of an influence to be able to influence the 5 million or so? What kind of influence you have in this industry at this point of time, whether it's through Nurse Approved or whether other things that you're doing already, you know, with the J&J and all that stuff?
I wish I had an answer for that. I think all of us deal with who we are and what we can do. And I think for me, I've never been very good at promoting myself along those lines, in terms of that it's never really been about me along those lines as much as what we can do.
No, it's not about you under Nurse Approved, but more about the impact that you're doing, making sure that it reaches as many nurses as possible.
Yes, and that's the idea. And I think that the way that we do that is, I've always tried to stay as true to the voice of nursing in any way. And there's been positions that I've held where sometimes that voice has been counter to the organization. And I've made very tough choices in my life to sometimes walk away from positions with golden handcuffs and great titles.
Yeah.
To step back and step again to do the fight for nursing.
Correct.
And I think that there is a changing movement. I think for the first time in 200 years, we have a chance to do something for nursing that has never been done for the profession before, which is to finally elevate it to have an equal standing with all other healthcare professionals in the world. And that's what we're going to champion. And I think that the world is changing. And if people like you, thank you, Ramesh, having us on a podcast and introducing a nurse to an audience who may never have heard from them before, that's the start of a sea of change, because it's not me. There are 5 million of us every day going out there to sacrifice ourselves to try to make the world better. And I wonder, and why I do this every day is I wonder to myself, what would society be if we don't have nurses in it? And I constantly worry today that we're not going to have the next generation choose nursing, because it is not a profession that has been historically valued.
Correct.
And what's happening is, who will we be if we don't have nurses in this society?
It's all right. There's definitely risk and danger. And then let me bring another element of risk. I don't know if it's a risk or not, technology, right? So the evolution of technology, and we're in 2024. We cannot really do any podcast without talking about artificial intelligence, mm-hmm. Okay? So, and then many industries, people believe will be impacted. Like, for example, recently we saw actors, Hollywood actors, strike, thinking that artificial intelligence will replace them, right? It's going to change their lives. So first, let me start with the fear of artificial intelligence technology in the nursing industry. How does the nursing industry look at artificial intelligence?
I think it's relatively new. I don't think there's a lot of fear over it. I don't think that nurses are sitting at home thinking, oh, how can AI help me? I don't think that's it.
Or hurt me.
I don't think so at this point in time. The truth is that the one thing that I actually think there's a much greater risk actually to our physician ones, because their workflows are if this, then that. You can follow algorithms to do. nursing has never really been able to actually do that because we're the jack of all trades, the expert of one. You have somebody coming in with a complex patient of congestive heart
trailer. You're talking about 36 workarounds, so you cannot algorithmize 36 workarounds.
Exactly. Those are the exact kind of things, but also the complexity of patients, right? Now, we know that most digital health is very good at solving congestive heart failure if that person follows an exact definition of what that problem is, but nobody is just one thing, right?
Right.
Nurses are experts in being able to patch together workloads and incredible amounts of information that I think we think AI can also do. But the truth is, unless it's actually all captured, documented, and then reviewed by nurses to make sure we're accurately doing this, AI is going to fail within those ones.
Totally.
So actually, I think one of the most important elements of healthcare development of AI, and we're seeing this, is nurse reviewal of actually the processes. I was just talking with a nurse who was working with payers, and she was actually an AI expert, and she was looking, she said, all the data that came into payers was incorrectly denying claims for patients because the data going in, the AI algorithm was actually incorrect. So these are the things that I think from a perspective of what we're gonna have to look at. I hope we see AI do all of the tasks that have been burdening nurses from being at the bedside to be removed and actually do them. And they can do them much better. Like, we need, what nursing has always been, I hate to say this, has always been sort of the person that is the catch-all. Sort of, if you're thinking of, if you're in healthcare in your business, it's sort of like your secretary or executive assistant. Nurses deal with everything to operationalize, and we just kept piling more things on, keeping them away from the bedside and managing more things so that we could have more payer captures and do all of those things. And it's taken us away from the patient.
The clinical care, yeah.
My hope is AI puts us back in front of the patient. Because no matter what tech you have, if you don't have the hands of the nurse delivering that medication, changing the wounds, turning the patients, making sure that they're comfortable, watching for the subtle changes of environment, the truth is patients die. The only reason that they exist, the only reason patients are in hospitals or in nursing homes today is because of nursing care. Everything else could be done outpatient, physical therapy, OR, surgery. The one link there is nurses.
So the other side of the artificial intelligence, the companies that you brought in, so are you seeing the injection of AI into the companies that are being built? So if you could give some examples.
Yes, you guys got to check out Jean Ross, Primary Records. She's a nurse that basically developed an entire EHR system that could be owned by the patient. Because when she was doing case management, most patients don't have records, access to their medical records. But also, you get so much data, right?
Yeah.
Say that you're going to your doctor's appointment, and you're going to go and you're going to anesthesia. But in hundreds of pages, there's some kind of allergy you have. You can't find that. She's using AI to scrub those data so that when a patient walks in and says, look, we're going under this one. Do you have any allergies to anything? Suddenly the data is scrubbed by AI to pull up that factor. So she's building a system to do something like that, and it's absolutely brilliant.
Okay, so then how do these founders, nurse founders, bring in the technologies to help with the technology? I spoke to, Alex, right? So I asked him the same question. Hey, you know, how did you develop the technology? He said, I have a friend of mine who's a software engineer, and then so whenever we have time, we work on it, right? So that's what he said. So
they beg, borrow, and steal, Ramesh. Just exactly that. They have a neighbor. They have somebody. They borrow them. They leverage your house. If you go down and talk to Jenny Finnell, she just basically mortgaged her house to pay a developer $70,000 to build her platform, but that was with her working full time and leveraging her entire thing because they don't know how to find them. And you're lucky enough if you have a friend who will work on the weekends. But most nurses don't have the capital, the money, or the connections to actually build these things. But you know what's interesting is if you talk to the technologists who do work with them, you should stop over to Jean's booth, you realize that the technologist, when they start working with the nurse, all of a sudden it lights a light inside of them to say, you know what, I'm actually working on a project that means something that's going to save lives, because they help them translate really effective nursing treatments into a technology that leads to changing outcomes.
The other thing that I think may also be happening is the domain expertise, right? So nurses have the domain expertise.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Right. If you go into healthcare, like if you don't take the domain experts and try to build something, right, you come up with a system that nobody can use, right? We know about the EHR that I don't want to mention that everybody
just makes more work for us.
Exactly.
Less.
Right. Exactly. So, I think that's another value that I see.
100%.
Right? So, Rebecca, so just to wrap up the podcast, so what's next for Nurse Approved, and what's next for Rebecca Love?
Oh, well, thank you, Ramesh. You know what? Nurse Approved is going to show back up at Health and bigger and better. We're going to bring 30 companies into this to introduce more nurses. But for me...
By the way, how do you find these companies? How do you source them?
I think I've been spending the last 5 years in every nurse innovator, every phone call I try to take. And so they actually reach out and then we identify them and they go through the process and then we identify to go from. But also, next, Ramesh, I think we're just going to continue the fight, which is how do we keep elevating the voice of nurses to be heard in healthcare and drive forward the changes that we have? And so we're going to keep finding people like you and we're going to find others who are going to finally say, you know what, where is the voice of the nurse? And invite us into places that we're not having. And you're going to sit there and say, hey, you know, we're talking healthcare. Have you asked the nurse? And if we start doing that, you're not only going to change the future of healthcare for better, you're going to save a profession that's largely at risk of not being here in the future.
So I end my podcast with one question, which is that if there's a magic wand, and if there's one thing that somebody can do for either Nurse Approved or Rebecca Love to really scale their efforts, what is that one thing? Is it more funding? Is it more visibility?
I think.
What is it?
Yeah, no, Ravesh, I think that's exact. I think it's both of those things right now, which is we need infrastructure. I think any nurse that's going into business, we don't have access to the same resources that others do. So
okay. We're
all figuring it out as we go and doing it through those things. But that's exactly it, Ramesh. If people are looking to invest in nursing, if they're looking to change that and they want to amplify what I think is one of the greatest professions in humankind, the truth is, it's like we need to start wondering and talking to our nurses and giving them a seat at the table where they're otherwise absent. So for me, Rebecca Love, for Nurse Approved, you know, if you are a company out there that has a product and you've always wondered, maybe I actually think that I should be investing in nursing, come and find us and let's see if we can change the world together.
Rebecca, thank you so much. I'm so glad I ran into you on the show floor. And literally had a 5-minute conversation and then now we're here, we're talking about a podcast.
Ramesh, I feel well.
I've learned so much and thank you very much.
Thank you.
And that's a wrap on another insightful episode. But remember, the power lies in applying what you've learned. If you found value in our conversation today, please share it with others who could benefit, subscribe for more, and consider leaving us a review. Visit theaientrepreneurs.com for more resources, including golden gems of articles, ChatGPT prompts, AI tools, tutorials, gifts, and much more. Let's keep pushing the boundaries of what's possible. Until next time.